Can the government tell the church what to do? Can the church tell the government how to behave? That's what we're going to be taking a look at today on this Wednesday, December the 19th, in the year of our Lord 2012. I'm Tom Baker, and unlike other days when we have co-pastors in the studio with us or on the phone, I'm all by myself because it's Insight Wednesday. And what am I like doing on Insight Wednesday? I kind of like taking a look at some thought from Christianity that will be very helpful for you when you come to understand it. And how do you come to understand it? We make distinctions. Theology is the art of making distinctions. I should explain that a little bit. Theology. Where does that word come from? It comes from two Greek words. Theos, meaning God. That's why somebody who is an atheos or atheist, somebody who is without God, doesn't believe in God. And logos, which is the word for word. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Logos. And the Word became flesh. That's what we're going to be celebrating this Christmas. The Word became flesh. So theology is really how God thinks. Now, in light of the fact that He's God and I'm man, in fact, sinful man, I do not naturally think the way God thinks. Therefore, I need revelation. Revelation. Oh, yes. Apart from revelation, you will never, ever, ever figure out the true God. You see, all other religions outside of Christianity are built on your experience. Where in your experience, where in nature, where in the environment would you ever be able to figure out that there are three persons and one God? No, it's not possible. Where in your experience would you ever figure out that God became a human being? For the purpose of taking away the punishment of your sins. It is found in no man-made religion. You know, especially during Christmas time, people get the idea that the essence of all religions is love. I just heard that recently. They were talking about love is the essence of all religions. They don't understand love. Because true love is to worship Jesus Christ. And if a religion doesn't worship Jesus Christ, it is not a loving religion. In fact, if you're a member of that religion and you think you're loving other people, from the true God's point of view, you can't. Because true love has to emanate from faith in Jesus Christ, motivated because of His love to you. Therefore, every act of love by an unbeliever is always an act of self-interest. I like kind of watching some of these new programs. Like one of them is a pawn shop. And, you know, you go into a pawn shop and you sell things. Well, one of the characters was given the task of getting the Christmas party ready. So they had about 50 employees, and he had a bag with everybody's name in it. And you pulled out the ticket, and whosever name you got, that's who you gave a present to. Okay? Well, of course, the guys who run the shop, they couldn't keep quiet whose name they got. And they figured out, by asking each other, they all got the same name, and it was the guy who was setting up the Christmas program. So at the Christmas program, when it came for giving out presents, he assumed he'd be getting 50 presents. But they had worked it out that they did give it to the other people, and he got none. It was really funny. Although he did get a pretty good bonus for putting on a great party, Christmas party. But it was just kind of interesting that he only did setting up the party out of self-interest. He wanted a bonus. And then he finagled a way in which he thought he'd get all the Christmas presents. That's how our old Adam always operates, even among Christians. We don't do anything out of love for Jesus through the old Adam. We do it out of love for ourselves or our children or some other self-interest. So, every religion in the world, they talk about love, but only Christianity has a loving God. And we can go into more detail. If you have any questions on any of this today, this is an open mic for you. So 505-7850. That's in the St. Louis area. But if you're anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. And if you're having a problem with what I'm saying but are listening later on as it is archived, then you can email me with your questions at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We're going to respond to some of those on Friday. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what we come up with here. Okay, so the two kingdoms are called church and state. The first thing I want to say is we're thinking about how God thinks about it, not the way we think about it. There's only one purpose for the existence of the state, the temporal realm, the government. And that is to create a peaceable environment so the gospel of Jesus Christ may be preached. That is the primary purpose of why the state exists. Notice I did not say that the state preaches the gospel. No, they should have nothing to do with the gospel. Their job is to create a quiet and peaceable atmosphere in the temporal realm. The church does the topic of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, yesterday with my good friend Pastor Mark Smith, we were talking about the 20 children who were murdered, but not in Newtown, Connecticut, but in East St. Louis, Missouri. All on the same day as those who were murdered in Newtown. But you didn't hear anything about it because it was at an abortion clinic. So nothing appeared in the paper about these children being murdered. It just occurred. So God is not happy with this. He makes no distinction between those killed in Newtown and those in East St. Louis. Both are murder. Both are abominations before Almighty God. See, that's how you begin to think like God thinks. So we criticize the government and some officials for being pro-abortion. And you might say, who gives you the right to do that? You're the church. It's supposed to be a division between church and state. Well, in some areas, you are absolutely correct. For example, the church has an understanding of divorce that the government doesn't have, just like we have an understanding of abortion like the government doesn't have. The difference, though, is God is very clear that abortion is murder, regardless of the position of the government. But God does allow divorce for the hardness of heart, where the church would not allow it. But let me give you an example. If a couple divorces because the husband leaves the wife and maybe is going to marry a secretary or living with her, the government will permit that for the hardness of heart. But the church, if he still remains a member of the church, should excommunicate him. But the church has no right to excommunicate people who are not members of the congregation. So just because individuals have unbiblical divorces, that the point I'm trying to make is, number one, God does tolerate that, as he says, for the hardness of heart, although it's not his will that anyone should be divorced. Even among Christians, there are two grounds where divorce is permitted. The first, of course, is adultery, but the second is desertion. And so on the basis of those two grounds, the church has a different point of view on divorce. Also, the church ought not speak on governmental issues where Christians can disagree. For example, we've got a fiscal cliff everybody is talking about. I guess some monetary things, some taxes need to be changed, or there's problems between the Democrats and the Republicans. Should a pastor come out on Sunday morning and tell which side is correct and which side is not? And the answer to that is no. Because God doesn't say much about the rate of taxation on anybody, except in Romans 13, where we are to pay taxes to the government. That's a good thing to do. But the rate is something upon which Christians can differ. There are those Christians who believe that, well, the rich need to pay their fair share, so we should raise their taxes. There's others who would make the point, yes, you take money away from them, and they're not going to have the kind of money to be able to hire people, and you're going to get even lower or higher unemployment rates. Now, who's right, who's wrong? From a pastor point of view, I don't get involved with those questions. I have my personal view, but that's not something that John the Baptizer would be talking about. John the Baptizer, why do you bring him up? John the Baptizer obviously was a member of the spiritual realm. He was a prophet. And he speaks on moral issues. He tells soldiers that they should not steal when they go to war, you know, from the enemy. He tells tax collectors not to take more than what they actually deserve. In other words, there is no problem with the church speaking out against immorality, which God considers as immoral and is clearly taught in the Bible. So the church today ought to be speaking out against abortion, homosexuality, gay marriage. All of these are abominations before Almighty God. And I'm just getting a little sick and tired of watching some of my favorite shows. Last night, Rizzolo was on. It was a female cop and her friend the doctor. Now, I have no idea why they did this, but one of the detectives had nothing to do with the story at all. His mother came visiting him, and she had divorced the husband, and now she was deciding to marry another woman. So gay marriage. And I was wondering how they're going to deal with this, because this detective seemed to have some common sense. Well, about halfway through the story, he's giving a toast to people at a dinner, and he toasts both of them, saying he really learned what love is about from these two people. And his mother broke down crying because she was really worried to tell him that she was going to be marrying another woman. I'll tell you, I almost turned the station, but I didn't want to see how the criminal was caught. But they're just inserting these things because, see, they believe in secularism, that if you can put it enough on television and make homosexual and gay marriage look really good, then pretty soon people are going to tolerate it. And, you know, that's what they started. They just wanted toleration. Now they want actual marriage, which if you take a look at other countries where this has been happening, a lot of bad things are happening. But even if nothing bad was happening, the fact of the matter is, this is contrary to the will of God. And the Christian church needs to become more of a John the Baptizer. I mentioned yesterday how proud I am of our own president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Matthew C. Harrison, who, when we are being told that in our health plans, we have to provide medicine that can contribute to an abortion, there's no way that we're going to be doing this. And so he actually went to Congress and spoke to them about this issue. And I have no problem with this, because this is God speaking to both kingdoms. So the church is permitted to speak out against the government when it's necessary. I mean, how many Lutherans, unfortunately, were silent during the days of Hitler? Now, there were a few brave souls, and some got killed for fighting against Hitler in Germany. But it was very clear that Hitler was an evil man, and the churches should have been speaking out against him, but many of them were afraid to say anything. They were not true John the Baptizers. And that needs to change, especially today. Because just not that long ago, legal abortion was unthinkable. Gay marriage? Ridiculous. And who knows what next is coming on the scene. Now, the pendulum will swing. And one of the things I'm have to say to people who are gay is the church will never recognize your lifestyle as appropriate. Never. Just like we never have recognized abortion as appropriate. And so you don't see a lot of women running around with T-shirts, you know, I've had an abortion. Now, this will lead to something that I find very interesting. The church will be referred to as hate mongers because they're going to say we hate homosexuals. No, we don't hate homosexuals. We hate homosexuality. Jesus, and these are the words we would say to a homosexual who's trying to defend his lifestyle, the same words Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But it was that same Peter who, having repented, Jesus reinstituted as an apostle. There's no way that when Peter made the statement that, no, you're not going to get killed, crucified, that Jesus stopped loving him. See, some people think that if you criticize anything, that means you don't love them. Let me make it clear from God's point of view. When you don't criticize them, it shows you love them. You don't love them. So congregations and one of the biggest denominations in Lutheranism, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, they do not love homosexuals because they are giving them the impression they can live the lifestyle even though it may send them to hell and there is no warning to them. That's horrendous. That's not the way God thinks. Let's go to our phone lines and begin by speaking with Lucille. Hi, Lucille.
Hi. In my Jacksonville paper, just a couple days ago, the headlines read, "Lawmakers to push for gay marriage." That's in Illinois.
Oh, I know. Yes, you see, politically, they were very close last time doing that. But there's also a lawmaker in Illinois, I understand, who's pushing to pass that marriage has to be between a man and a woman.
Yes.
And hopefully he'll win. But even if he doesn't, the fact is that this is just another sign how decrepit the thinking in the United States of America is becoming. And God will not sit back idly on this. But what he's going to do, I have no idea. You know, in Sodom and Gomorrah, when they had this homosexuality, God didn't bring anything to bear upon them in a negative sense. It was like he took away the negative consequences until he destroyed the city, as you well know.
But may I interject something here?
Absolutely, Lucille.
Our society now is going right down that route of Sodom and Gomorrah in my book. Am I wrong?
I think you are correct.
Okay.
And I really appreciate the call.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
You know, you get a bunch of politicians saying, we need to protect the children. You are now going to be sending your children, if you go to public school, to a school where they're going to talk about this lifestyle as okay. It would be kind of like going to a school and saying it's okay to kill Jews, which, of course, was being taught in Adolf Hitler's Germany. And we say, oh, that was terrible. This would never happen here. Well, it is happening, because many of the children killed are Jewish. The vast majority of children killed are those who are black. But there's still a lot of Jews being killed by even Jewish doctors. People who say never again. Now, is the church going to stand up and speak out against this in order that voters would become more sensitive to who they're putting into office? Back to the phone lines, talking with Brad. Hi, Brad, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Minutes ago, you said that he reinstated Peter as an apostle. Did he excommunicate him or demote him?
Well, remember, Peter was of the opinion that, you know, he had totally lost everything when he denied his Lord three times. He went out and wept. So when I say he reinstated, you're making a good point. I'm not talking about in a very formal way. He was first excommunicated, then he was reinstated. But it's kind of like my children do something wrong and I'm really disappointed and they really feel bad and they don't think I want them around them, and then I invite them to go out to McDonald's with me. And from their point of view, they're reinstated back into the family. So I'm speaking more from Peter's point of view. The only time a reinstatement took place, well, at least the one I'm thinking about, is when Paul speaks about that young man living with his mother-in-law. He's excommunicated, but in 2 Corinthians, he's reinstated into the church because of repentance. But you make a good point, Brad. I didn't mean it to mean a kind of an official kind of thing, but from the point of view of Peter. Is that okay?
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I tell you, we got some of the best listeners around. And I appreciate this because, you know, this is a real problem being on the radio. I don't see your faces. When I'm at a seminar and I say something that can be misunderstood, I don't think it's misunderstood because I said it. I understand it. But then I look out and I see some questioning, and so I stop and I back up. I say, do any of you have a question with what I just said? And it gives me the opportunity to correct it. So, Brad, I tell you, you are a brave soul to call KFUO. Any pastor worth his salt should welcome criticism. Why? Number one, he could be saying something not as clearly as he wanted to, and it gives him the opportunity to clarify it. Number two, he could have been misunderstood, and he's given the opportunity to clarify it. And number three, he could be wrong, and therefore he ought to thank whoever called to help him with that. And that's why I thank Brad. Now, by the way, on Friday, I got a email about something I had said about Jesus being born in a stable. And I'm doing a little work on that, and I hope to be responding to that on Friday. The person indicates that he was taught that no, it was actually an upper room, perhaps in a house, or a lower room where the cattle actually were. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit, and it's only because somebody wanted some clarification here, and that's what we're going to be doing. See, that's what KFUO is all about. What we talk about, we are where you are, what we mean by that is not just in your place, your location, because KFUO is everywhere in the world. If you have a cell phone, you can get us anywhere, even in Asia, Australia, Africa, South America, East St. Louis, everywhere. But we also mean we are where you are spiritually, where people searching the scriptures to come up with the answers to the questions that are being asked today. And that's why it's really important that you keep in touch with KFUO. And during this Christmas time, if you could support us, we certainly would appreciate it. Reverend Zwanisser speaks a number of times during the day about how you can do that. And I would pray that you would bring your heart to support KFUO, because that's how we're continuing to deliver a message that has been delivered for a long, long time. When was the last time you heard about an exorcism? Maybe there is no such thing. Well, on tomorrow's Ruminations Thursday, with the help of our co-host, Reverend Wes Reimnitz, we're going to take a look at exorcism. And is it happening today? Does it really exist? I know you're going to be surprised with what we have to say. Till tomorrow then, Tom Baker, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.